Previously on Those Were the Days.
And I ain't gonna lie, I don't really love to cook that much.
Well, not right now.
Genghis Khan Mongolian beef.
Almost like something you would see the Swedish chef involved in.
I need to buy a wok, maybe two. I was microwaving a hot dog at 12.
Then he starts taking the flour and he's like putting it in the guy's pockets.
Mandarin pancakes, by the way.
When he's telling you to stir fry, don't stir fry, stir fry.
I want just a mountain of dumplings.
Dang it, if I didn't believe I could cook after watching Yan.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
How y'all are? I guarantee it's time for Those Were the Days, the show where we are currently talking up the joys of cooking by taking a look at some of our favorite cooking shows from the past. Tonight, we're going to belly up to the bar with a storyteller who also happens to enjoy cooking in front of people. That's right, we're going way down to Louisiana to spend some time in the kitchen of the Cajun King, Justin Wilson. Joining me tonight in the most 80s of 80s kitchens, I have Look at the Reach on This Guy, Audie Norman.
So I'm going to tell you a little story that has nothing to do with anything we're about to talk about. So a young man named Alan was driving his pick-em-up truck down the road with a bunch of ducks in the back. He gets stopped by a police officer who informs Alan that he was speeding a bit. Then he asks him where he's going with all these ducks. Alan tells him he's not sure what to do with them. The officer responds helpfully, "Look, the zoo is not that far from here. That's as good a place as any to take them." Alan kindly thanks the officer and drives off. Well, the next day, this officer sees Alan in his pick-em-up truck again hurtling down the road. This time, all the ducks are back there wearing little duck-sized sunglasses. The officer pulls over Alan again and growls, "I thought I told you to take those ducks to the zoo." Alan happily responds, "Oh, I did, but now they want to go down to the beach." That's the end of my story. Let's talk about some cooking.
This is wonderful. Making what might as well be an 85-mile journey from her stove to her table, Amy Frost.
I was going to do like a whole thing where I just like mumbled a lot, but I irritated myself even thinking about it, so I got nothing.
And finally, the soothing baritone, not remotely mumbly voice of TV's Travis.
Okay, so we have everything set up. The kitchen set is built. The cameras are there. The lights are ready. But Grandpa has wandered onto set telling stories, and he just started cooking, and no one can stop him. We've tried, but no one can. He just keeps going. So we're just going to turn the cameras on and go with it.
What Travis has just done is encapsulated everything that I learned about this show in one intro. We can hang it up. We can go home. There's no more purpose to be here. If this is your first time coming to Those Were the Days, welcome. We're happy to hear you listening. We think you've picked a good one. Yep. This month has been cooking shows. We've been to marvelous places. We've been to Iron Chef, basically the WWE of cooking. We've been to Yan Can Cook, an actual chef of great talent, able to teach anybody anything. And now we're wandering into Steven's neck of the woods with Justin Wilson's Easy Cooking. Now, Justin Wilson is a fella you might recognize, maybe not by name, but by look. Red suspenders, red bolo tie kind of jam, like a cowboy sometimes. But he got old, and it doesn't fit around his wrinkly neck quite as much in this particular episode. So he left it at home. But Justin Wilson is the Cajun cook. Louisiana, his catchphrase, "I guarantee." Which he uses a lot. Like, you think that might be just a Louisiana
mileage
stereotype.
Does he like get paid by the, like, he gets like a penny a time? Is that where we're at?
I mean, all I'm saying is
that phrase was like a semicolon. Shot. Yeah. Don't take a shot. Because you will not make it through the 20-minute episode of watching him if you take a shot every time he says, "I guarantee."
Mm-hmm. Prior to this, I did think, because I of course knew guarantee, but I did think that it was Chef Paul Prudhomme. Mm. I completely mixed the two up for that particular thing, which is weird.
Yeah. Well, I want to start this show by first of all saying you're welcome for putting me through this. Because there's a few reasons that I know you're thanking me for it. And one of those reasons is that I could have gone all the way back to the early days of Justin Wilson when he was a spry young man of like 60. But no, I chose the Justin Wilson who's basically 900 years old to watch.
A mere 3 years before the end of his life.
You know. Hey, look, when 900 years old you are, look as good. You will not. That's all I'm saying. But it's something, there's something to be said about a man who is willing to step in front of a camera, lay his cane on the kitchen counter behind him.
Right.
And
on the counter.
Work. Just like grandpa would.
Oh, yeah.
There's no difference in watching your grandpa in the kitchen and watching Justin Wilson on TV. He's going to do the same things with the food that you cringe that your grandpa does. Or your dad, if your dad's old enough, you look at him and you go, what on earth did he just do to that food? But then at the end of the day, you eat it, and everybody's happy. So this episode is all about chili rice chicken a la Creole, which our friend Justin Wilson is quick to admit he invented chili rice, as in he's the first man to ever put chili powder in rice.
I'm sure.
Mexico invented. Would like to have a word.
Yes. He has invented it. And then now he was willing to say chicken a la Creole was not his. Yeah. But he does throw like that chili rice and put that in the pot with you, get it boiling up. So anyway, let's get down to it. I'm keeping a running count
of how many times Steven slides into Cajun.
I can't help it. And see, the intro of the show was rough because I couldn't tell how much I wanted to commit to the bit. And I was like, I can't. I'm not going to do it. But I will. I'll slide, Audie. I'll slide for you. Amy, did you have any relationship with Easy Cooking prior to this episode, or him in general?
No. So, like I said, I had in my head that I guarantee was Paul Prudhomme, and so like, but even that, like, I couldn't have told you about any. Like, it was Cajun. I got that far, but no, this was pretty new for me.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. How about you, Travis?
Honestly, I didn't have a lot of background with Justin Wilson. The most I knew about him was that there was a character in an episode of Good Eats that was a mashup of Paul Prudhomme and Justin Wilson. He's kind of both of them put together, a parody of them. But like, I knew I guarantee, and I knew the look. I knew the blue shirt, the red suspenders. That was it. I didn't watch a lot of it. I may have caught an episode here or there that like popped up, but it wasn't super high on my radar.
Yeah. Audie, how about you?
Well, I'm going to join the crowd saying nope. Not very familiar with him. Like, he's one of those that, similar to Yank and Cook, I remember it being advertised on PBS growing up, but that's about it. Like, you know, I remember the I guarantee kind of thing. It's funny, the whole time he was cooking, I was like, this reminds me of every old man at the church that would cook for whatever thing we had going on. Yep. With the same old, like, I will chop your arm off if you get near my pot.
Yes.
Yeah. That was good. That's a good rule, though. Actually, I was pretty impressed by that. Like, first of all, so the thing where he stuck his finger in the rice to measure the proportion of rice to water, I learned how to cook Chinese food from one of my mother's friends who grew up in Taiwan, and that she taught me the same thing. I can't do it that way, though. I have to measure.
I've heard
it doesn't
that too.
Come out right. I can't.
That
do
was
it,
the first I'd ever heard of that, and the first I'd ever heard, he said, "Look at your neighbor. See that tip of their finger, the same size as your finger. Same on everybody." You know, and I was like, "Wait, what? Is that a thing? Like, what is? Is he spouting crazy Southern wisdom again? Which is not always real."
Yeah, it's basically really supposed to be sort of like the proportion between like your first knuckle and your second knuckle, and one is the rice and then the water. That's supposed to work.
That's a pretty good rule. I like things like
it's
that.
Good,
you know,
right?
You've always got your fingers until you don't.
Yeah.
Right.
If you suddenly work with knives, you know that's not always there. If I was cooking every day, good chance I'm gonna be like, Justin, I don't have the ability to do that. By the way, I'd like to go ahead and reassure everyone named Justin that you can live to your old age. I've seen an old man named Justin. Not like Josh. I've never met an old man named Josh. So
You know, that's a really good point. You don't hear about or see a lot of really old Justins, do you?
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. They're always like
right,
40 or
younger.
Right,
which is why I want to let our Justins know that, you know, they've got
possible.
A chance.
There you go. You're not going to move very quick by the time you get there, but you're going to get there.
So I don't know how to break down this show other than in different just maybe segments. I don't even... Travis, you're really correct that he wanders onto set and just says, "How y'all are?" Which I found
that
endearing.
Was very good.
Yeah,
and I'm happy. I'm happy that you can see me.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been saying that for years. I guess
No one can convince me that this was a set. Like, right. like the audience is definitely in his living room, like looking through the door. there's no way.
That certainly speaks to the decoration of the set, though.
Right?
I mean, you felt like you could easily be in his double wide in Louisiana enjoying whatever. Now, that was definitely a ranch home, if anything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's ranch home all the way. Yeah. No basements in Louisiana.
Yeah. No.
But it's a ranch home, and he is happy because he ain't getting around very fast. If he's got stairs,
yeah,
it's like
no
that
stairs.
Old lady in Gremlins. There's a little wheelie roller chair.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's similar. Like with this show, I don't have much of a relationship with it, and by not much of one, I mean zero. I've never watched it before. But my brother-in-law Jacob has mentioned Justin Wilson countless times. Whenever we're cooking, like we're making po' boys, shrimp po' boys, Justin Wilson will come up.
Mm-hmm.
Stories of this, so I thought when cooking month, I'm just gonna do Justin Wilson. Jacob talks about him all the time, and I need some foundation when he goes into his Justin Wilson. Now I understand, and I am so happy I watched. And not only that, 1998 I think was when this aired, so it's button up against our limit. But I also got old
like
Justin Wilson.
yeah,
didn't look like it, right? The production value of this puts it dead in 1983.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No later. But it's all, to me, the chicken a la Creole is fine. Like, we all learned how to cook. We all learned how to dump chili powder into rice.
Yeah.
We all learned that boiling chicken is gross, Justin Wilson. I don't know what boiled chicken you were eating. Is that y'all's experience of boiled chicken, or is that just a me thing?
No. Like, nah. He got the, because the chicken was already cooked. Before he put it in with the Rotel tomatoes.
Right.
And all that. And, like, so that's my, like, nowadays, right? That's my, I'm going to get the rotisserie chicken from the deli.
Exactly.
And then I'm just going to use that. And that'd be okay. Boiled chicken is not.
There was some point early in our marriage where Julia did it, something with boiled chicken or canned chicken. It was like, I can't do that again. No, thank you. So, like, now when I'm cooking, I'll either do it in the pan or do it on the grill or get a rotisserie. Like, those are my three options I'll do.
Yeah, rotisserie chicken pre-cooked, fine. You could do that. Make that chicken a la Creole with that. Good. Don't boil the chicken. Just that's, like, a one-way ticket to just flavorless meh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when he did bring the chicken out and he mentioned it had been boiled, pre-cooked, boiled, and he started chewing. He chewed on it for a half an hour.
No,
he probably forgot to put his teeth in before the shoot.
Well, so here's the thing. My father-in-law, before he passed away, he was very old, like 82, 83. I saw so much of him in Justin Wilson in the kitchen. Stephanie and I were watching it together, and she was as bewildered as I was at the whole thing. She's like, I feel like I'm watching Dad cook, because it was just this kind of telling stories, reaching miles for things.
Uh-huh.
Like, no one wanted to make his job easy.
No.
He had to wander from place to place.
Like, everything was prepped for him and set out, but the problem was that he had to take four steps to get to anything.
90% of this could have been fixed with a lazy Susan.
Yep.
Just just put it on the counter, no
problem.
A
lazy Susan and a production assistant on the other side swapping things out.
Because
so he
also needed
put
a
something
hand
else on there
to rest on something as he's attempting to walk anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
To take any two steps.
To
I was like, somebody hand it to him. Hand it to him.
Get a buddy.
Please help that man.
Yeah.
He would reach so far for the spices and then, like, trimmer, bringing the spices back to him. And I'm like, you are wonderful because you're older than dirt and you're doing the job and you are talking to people. Like, if you were to sit me down in front of folks, I would just, at that age, I would probably do the same. I'd just start talking to people and making my food, making my breakfast.
Yeah.
I'm just making macaroni. What are you all doing? And that really is part of the charm, I thought, from my experience watching it, was just, I just feel like I'm being told stories of how to cook things. And, you know, we've been watching some very pro cooks so far, like very pro. And I think, to me, in my kitchen skill level, I learned a lot from Yan. I would watch Yan a million times. We talked about that this week. But I learned a little bit about cooking confidence from Justin Wilson, watching him, in that he's basically teaching you through his, that's a teaspoon, I guarantee, by just saying, I got close enough. Don't sweat it.
Yeah,
I got it in my hand. Because Stephanie looked at it, she said, that way more than a tablespoon, buddy. You're way more.
Yeah, that was a heavy teaspoon.
Yeah, Justin apparently is a favorite of Julia's, and she was like, I learned how to do that from him. I'm like, okay.
All right.
You're like, now I know why the food tastes like it does.
I plead the fifth.
It was powerful. It was also fun to see, like, he had the recipe written out on the counter, and he was just reading the recipe to you as he's trying to cook it. And like, okay. I can respect that. That's cool. That, and then he would grab something like the onions, the dried onions that I guess got rehydrated because he went to dump them out and they just nothing happened. He's like, I thought. So now he's got a, you know, it's another 15 minutes while he wanders back over to get a spoon and come back to scrape them out of there. And man, he made sure to scrape and get nothing else out of that bowl, but he scraped it.
Oh, go ahead, Audie.
I was just going to say, I loved how he smelled everything to make sure it was what it was. Like, oh, yeah, that's the onions, all right.
The old factory is the last to go. Speaking of scraping, one of the first things Stephanie brought up, we sat down to watch it, was how he loved that metal spoon on that metal pot right at the start. And she's like, I don't know if I can do it.
So
I was like, just hang on.
The rice, all of his rice techniques were like A+, and I was very into that. And I was like, yes, good. You do slap somebody's hand if they open the pot while the rice is cooking because you need to steam it.
He said, cut their arm off.
Yeah. So, but the best part is, so he gets the rice going, right? And then he's like, all right, oh, we better, you know, it's gonna take. We better start this chicken. And then he breaks into the story.
And it made me think of Grumpy Old Men and Burgess Meredith, where he just started telling the story.
Yes.
And it's like, what? Yeah, Pop? What? What? Huh? Well, what happened? I just like that story. Like, he's just like in the middle of things. You know what? It's a story popped into his head about his friend who went duck hunting with the bank man and his dog Fido, which, by the way, Fido,
Phideaux.
Damn, Skippy.
Fido.
I'm just glad you said bank man, because every time he kept saying Bumarger, I didn't know what he was saying.
You're like, this house that we lend you that money for. That's the only way that I could put it together. I did catch that part. Because, you know, as I pieced it together, his friend wouldn't take anyone duck hunting.
Yeah.
And then the bank, I didn't get that that's what it was. But then he's like, oh, you like this house I lent you that money for? And then I eventually put, and he's like, he knew he was up to something. And I was like, what? What?
How does he know? What? We don't even know who he is. What's going on?
Like taking note, what?
However, I have met many of people that have told jokes exactly like that, and it's an endurance trial. You got to make it through. But if you can stay with it, that punchline is good.
Oh yeah, that was a payoff.
I never did get that dog learn how to swim.
Oh yeah, if you for some reason didn't watch this before you listened to us, just go to YouTube and watch it. It was just magic.
The only problem with it being on YouTube is we have no subtitles, which really would have come in handy.
There's no way to understand it. This is what I was going to get to, is that Stephanie and I were sitting there watching. She kept going, wait, what did he say? What did he say? What did they say? And I could follow. I was picking up on it, but I grew up around my grandfather, who wasn't too far. He wasn't Cajun. He was South Alabama, but it was about like this. And you do what I like to call verbal post-processing. Mm-hmm. You hear it, and then you work out what was said. Yeah. Like, you're always about 2 to 3 seconds behind everything coming into your ears. You're like, I need context. And it's amazing because I'm like, this man probably has talked to people who don't have English as their first language. And it's just like, Lord help them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, what if someone from Eastern Europe lands in Baton Rouge? Just like, I'll go talk to people. No, you're not.
Listen,
no,
you're not. When you're in that part of the country, English isn't necessarily your first language anyway. Like, it is, it is that Creole and that Cajun, in like structured so weird. You do need to post process.
Well, also, like, a good old boy like that, you don't even have to say words. You're like,
Entire conversations can be held without a single word used. Just mutterings and mumblings and, like, you know, context clues. And that's it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And he made a television show out of it.
Right. Yeah. I remember being at the gas station with my grandpa because my grandpa was one of those people that hung at the gas station.
Sure.
Back when they were called service stations. You just stand there and I would ask them to buy me ice cream out of a little ice cream cooler thing.
Nice.
You know, that got filled up who knows when. Either potato chips and this cloud of smoke an inch thick all up in there, you know. I don't know if my lungs are still in good health. Who knows? But it was good stuff. But that's the kind of conversation you hear. It's like, I don't know what they're saying, but they're mumbling at each other. And that's great.
They seem to know. So that's
They seem to have a handle on it. But yeah, so as far as the cooking goes, there were a couple things I know I want to give Travis and Amy time to point out because I didn't really think too much of it as I watched this man throw a bunch of mint in here or whatever he was dealing with. Amy, what ground? I didn't understand what that ingredient was because he went past it so fast. I'm like, wait, what did he say?
There were a couple of times, right? Because like this is also not like I have a passing familiarity with Cajun food. But you know, and like we said, right, this is like your dad or grandpa in the kitchen, right? So we're just making food. And like he talked about with you know, he said he invented chili rice when that was just, you know, it was what he had and they had to eat.
Yeah.
Fine, great. Mm-hmm. Like I get that. All right. So we're not doing haute cuisine here. We're just cooking. Fine. So
on one end of the spectrum you have Iron Chef, and on the other end of the spectrum you have Easy Cooking with Justin Wilson, like in terms of ingredients and what they're making.
Let's give Iron Chef this week's ingredient is a can of Rotel tomatoes.
Right. They'd be like, wait, what?
And so the first one I kind of almost glossed over because he talked about how he used to use celery. And he doesn't do that anymore because the flavor was overwhelming. And I was like, pardon me?
Like, see, when
pardon now.
Yeah. And when that moment came up, I kind of heard that and I sort of did like the dog thing where my head cocked to one side. And like,
Now, he did say he was using dried vegetables. So I was like, okay. I kind of understand, like, because celery, like, there's celery salt, and, like, celery has, it does have a flavor when you concentrate it. So I was like, okay, I will let this go. So then when we get to the chicken, after we've put in the Cajun ketchup, which I thought that was pretty cute. That was pretty good.
Steak sauce.
I was pretty happy about that. And he talks about he used to put in a bay leaf, because he loves bay. But the bay would be overwhelming. Okay. I mean, bay's not... Especially, we're not cooking for, like, 12 hours. Like, we're also, not going to overdo it.
Also, honestly, go to 100 people and ask them what bay tastes like, and none of them can tell you what it tastes like, because no one knows what bay actually tastes like.
Undertones. So he says, but it's overwhelming, so I don't use that anymore. I use mint instead. Now, I have no problem with using mint as a flavoring, as an ingredient in literally anything. I'm a big fan of the traditionally sweet used in savory. I put cloves in everything. But by saying that the bay was overwhelming, so we're gonna use mint.
Once again, we're on a spectrum here of bay is on one end and like mint is on the other end.
On the other. Mm-hmm.
In terms of intensity. That was the one where I was sorry, I developed a slight twitch for a minute. I'm like, okay, what now? Why for how?
So but. Now, right? So now, because you tell me you're going to put a bay leaf in this chicken thing with the Rotel tomatoes and the onions and the stuff that you put in there. I was like, okay, all right. But then you're like, mint. And I went, what? And so I cannot conceivably imagine what, like, because I cook a lot. I eat a lot of different foods, right? So, like, usually when I'm watching, even if it's a food I haven't had before, when you're reading through the ingredients, you go, yeah, okay, no, I get how that works. I don't understand.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it won't work. I just, it was beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, I got to the point
almost
I was like,
as much as the dog story.
I was like, okay, Mr. Wilson, I don't think it's that bay is bad. I think you just don't like it. I don't think
you said
it.
You said
you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a lot of decisions made with the food. I mean, that being said, I want to eat it. You know,
sure.
I mean it looked pretty great. One thing that did crack me up because I mean most of the food I ate growing up came from a can. You know, like can of beans. We could make sausage, but we got a can of sausage. You know, with gravy.
Yeah.
Can of sausage gravy. I mean, that's just the way I grew up. That's the way we did it. So he's doing Rotel tomatoes and then like a handful of seasonings and boiled chicken. I'm like, yes, this is familiar to me. Because boiling chicken's easy when you got children running around.
Yeah.
You throw it in there and forget. That's before we had instant. Well, I mean, we had pressure cookers, I guess. But, you know, you didn't have an air fryer for your chicken. I've thrown a whole chicken in the air fryer and it came out amazing. It's like now my go-to chicken thighs in the air fryer.
I'm
done. I got everything I need.
You mean the chicken thighs? But you got the chicken thighs in there?
That's
Yeah, that was the other story.
Chicken thighs. That took me that entire story and then more to figure out what he was talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, at one point he's telling the story about him and his Louisiana friend went to a place, asked for two thighs and a wing at the chicken place. I want two thighs and a wing. And the waitress said, excuse me, two thighs and a wing. I don't understand. I want two thighs and a wing. And she looked at Justin and said, what's he trying to say? He wants two thighs and a wing. And she said, I thought he was about to hit both of us. They were both from Louisiana. Thighs. I looked at Stephanie and went, thighs. That's what he's saying.
I did like the chicken. That was real nice. I did that. We don't.
Chicken a la Creole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I learned so much about how to speak. And I also learned about the kind of
elocution.
just whatever makes a sound, make it not make a sound. Just why I'm a little bit, just get on down now.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody will know what you're talking about, but they'll all nod and agree because that's why we're polite, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you get through talking to people like that. You go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, there go boys. They go down and go to my brother.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
I literally have lived that because when I was in my early 20s, I was in a relationship with somebody from Virginia. I visited her grandfather. I might have told this story before somewhere, but her grandfather I met, he looked. And I'm not saying a little bit. He looked exactly like Roy Scheider. But he had that kind of a drawl. Couldn't understand a thing the man said. So I would just, yeah, of course, yeah. That was the answer to everything. Because he would just, I might as well have been talking to Boomhauer. Like, no clue.
Yeah.
Nope.
My dad used to do that to my friends because he's got an Alabama drawl. And some of my friends can't understand him better than other friends. And I had this one particular friend and my dad literally looked at him and said, you guys love your ugly monkey face. And he said, and my buddy was like, yeah, you guys say that. He can't understand me.
Yeah, that's how you
test
him.
Can't. Yeah, that's how you get him. You just insult him. He laughed.
I've worked in retail for like 20 years in customer service, so you got to be more non-committal than that. You got to go, oh right, wow, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can't agree. You just got to go, oh nope. Wow.
You don't agree. You don't disagree. You just like neutral answer.
Is that so?
Yeah, because they're asking for a 50% discount because the retail tag on the shelf was different than the tag on the item.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait, what? You go, yeah, of course. And they're like, okay. And you're like, what? Oh, that was a question. What? Huh?
All right. but
yeah, so Justin Wilson, just a character. So we watched through this whole thing. We get to the point where he combines everything. He finally cooking shows it. You know, he does the traditional, I'm going to let a chicken boil 25 minutes, but I got some already fixed up over here. And he makes his journey from Hobbiton to Mordor to get the bowl, take the cellophane.
No eagles to be found.
No, there are no eagles on this journey. If he was taking the ring, we'd still be reading about it.
Still be waiting.
But he goes over there and gets his cellophane bowl of chicken and combines everything. And he just mixing. I mean, he just mixing and stirring the whole. Like it's nothing I don't feel I could handle if you put me down in front of this recipe. And he makes himself a little plate, tells everybody how delicious it's going to be. And then we end the episode by just sitting down at the table and eating breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, didn't have breakfast because I'm going to eat all this right now. I was like, okay.
Like, got to pour a little wine.
So the best part was, now he did also say, if you wouldn't drink it, don't cook with it. And that is a very good, that's a very important rule. And I, because I have friends, like I'll cook with the good stuff, largely because I'm not going to, if something needs like a tablespoon of brandy, I'm not going to go buy an entire bottle of not great brandy you know, have it just sit forever. I'm just going to use the good stuff. And if I run out of good stuff, I'll go get more good stuff.
Yes.
And it, so the wild part was, right, so he's eating. And then it like cuts to the end of the show. Right. And then presumably, like, I don't know if it was like a station ID or whatever used to be there. But then it goes back and he's just eating. And then everyone starts to applaud again.
And he's just mumbling to himself. So good. Yeah, I guarantee.
He's just applauding him, like him eating. And I do still picture them leaning in from the living room looking through the door.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, man, I'd be pretty tickled to be 83 years old and, you know, having people applaud that I've eaten. Like, I think this was really his plan for lunch that day. I'll just have lunch at the office.
Yeah.
But when your office is a cooking show, and like, oh, just drop me off at the entrance. I'll just have lunch at the office this morning. I'm going to make it myself anyway. You know, like,
might as well.
But he did say he was going to share, you know, with the audience. We just never get to see that part. Right. I'm assuming if you hang around long enough, the four bowls of soup you can get out of whatever he made is what you're going to enjoy. So I guess there's in this cooking show theme, there's not a whole lot of ground to cover. We've been through a lot of it. So I guess at the end of the day, one of the first questions, did the recipe look good? Is it something you would be willing to try? Travis, let's start with you.
I would try the chili rice, because that's a very, it's not that far off from a lot of the stuff that I'll do to rice anyway, just to give it a little something. Throw a little chili powder in there, cook it up. I don't see a problem with that. Like, it's no different than getting rice-a-roni.
Yeah.
Sure.
Probably tastes better than that. The chicken a la Creole, I want to try that dish, but maybe not exactly the way he made it. Like, I'm not. I try very hard not to be like, well, we can always make this better with better, you know, fresher ingredients and like go super that way. But I'm not using boiled chicken. That just ain't happening. And I am going to put bay leaf in mine. And I probably won't use dried, but I will take the time to cut up some fresh onions because, you know. That's just how
which
it is
that but. My dad still said, like, so this is the thing, right? I have no history with this show. My father says onion all of the time. So, like, clearly, but, I mean, they also both worked in TV, my parents. So, like, Mm-hmm. You know, it could have just even been something that, you know, they were watching when they were running the station or mm-hmm. whatever. Like, who knows? But
yeah, it's one of those things you can pick up on because it's an easy word to mess with. It's like when your mom says, take the thing up to the garage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're like, it's just a weird word, weird way to say a word, on yawns.
But
my father-in-law used to say bullets instead of bullets, you know, just for fun. It was just a weird way to swing. Mm-hmm. I go and pick up some bullets. I was like, what's a bullet? Bullets! You put in a goon!
Yep.
You know, just to mess with you. Audie, how about you? What'd you think? Would you make this recipe?
Yeah, I probably would. I'd go down to the K. Roger and get some ingredients for it. Like Travis, I'm not boiling my chicken. That ain't happening.
No. Yeah.
It's funny. I did end up making some jambalaya this past weekend, and it felt kind of similar. Mm. So I was like, yeah, I'll just try this.
And yeah.
You know, it felt a lot like that in separate parts. I was like, yeah, I'll just throw it all together.
Sure. Sure. Amy, would you make this dish?
Yeah. I mean, so I've done a quick look at chicken a la Creole here, and from my Google search, I'm gonna go ahead and say that he maybe did make this up. I know he says he didn't, but I'm looking at these recipes and I'm going, I think maybe he did.
Oh,
because I'm doing the like, all right, well, what's it I don't want to say supposed to be, because that's,
yeah,
you know, but like
traditionally,
okay, traditionally, whatever, you know what I mean. And no, I'm pretty sure he made it. I'm pretty sure he did.
He just admitted it, and he doesn't remember. Yeah.
That, or he's the first person on record for making it, you know?
I mean, that's also true. But there are a couple other recipes for it that are essentially the same. They don't use the Rotel tomatoes. They just use plain diced tomatoes, and then they add.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple with bell peppers in it that I feel like, ooh, would be a nice addition.
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not that different. I call it chicken cacciatore, but it is categorically not that. But that's just, it was like, I started with a recipe, but I didn't have everything. And so I just sort of started to wing it. But that's what it has now become called. Yeah. And it's not that different from this. It's just a little more Italian than, you know, Creole or Cajun.
Yeah. I would totally make this thing, I think. Rotel tomatoes and all. I might not use the whole tomatoes in a can that he used. Cause I think at one point he's like, oh, we just use a whole tomato. I'm like, why don't you just get diced already? Like,
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of chunks. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a certain generation and a certain age in which chunks of food is something that you want in your, like, My father-in-law, I don't bring him up a lot, but just because I saw a lot of him and Justin Wilson in the way they cooked and the way they acted while in the kitchen, meandering from place to place with seemingly no real purpose other than just to go over there for a second. But he would, I mean, on a hamburger, his onion was cut about half the size of, or no, at least the size of the beef. Or more, like he would cut a chunk of onion and a chunk of tomato, and like everything he served me after a certain point of his life was just you couldn't put the whole thing in your mouth. You were gonna bite it in half, like it's tomatoes and soup, chunk of tomato.
I will say this: the whole tomatoes canned like that, because I use whole tomatoes when I make tomato sauce, and I buy the can of whole tomatoes and then I crush them myself. And I would do that because you just dump them into a bowl, use a potato masher or get in there with your hands and just crush them all up. And then if you're going to cook it for a little while, they're going to fall apart anyway.
Yeah,
so I would do
that. Yeah.
I just found a slow cooker one. They use the whole tomatoes, which because they're just going to break down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they cook down, I'm good with it. Cause I'm not a big tomato fan. Like, in general, but if it's like a vegetable soup where the tomato is the base and it's not like a big character, you know, it's like, okay, well, there's tomato juice and little tomatoes, but then there's other deliciousness all sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of good flavors. Anyway, I don't know anything about cooking, but I know I would make this without that. I will say, you guys inspired me a lot And we're trying to post Christmas budgeting in January means we eat at home a lot more than we were. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So we're eating a lot at home, so I'm having to invent more things. And the other day I was like, I don't know what to make. And so I had to come up with something. And I chopped up potatoes into little wedges and put them in my air fryer. And we had homemade chips. And I am now like the savior of dinner for my son. He's like, these chips are really good. We should have more of those chips you made. I'm like, I made something delicious. So, they may be potato chips, but I did that on a whim with no skill.
I love that. That is amazing. Makes me happy. And yeah, I'm with Amy. It makes me happy.
Now that you've done that, throw more stuff in next time. Get some different seasoning to play with it.
I'm excited about it. I got it. I achieved, and now I'm excited.
Excellent.
So it's what cooking's about. Go ahead, Travis. You were saying.
I did mention last week how I was going to buy wonton skins, wonton wrappers, and I did. Yeah. And I made dumplings, and they were fantastic. They were hideous to look at, but they tasted amazing, and I will make more of them.
Isn't that really great? Like,
yeah. I've learned... I know I might have said it last week, but I was most unsure about the cooking show category of this show that we're doing here tonight. I had no idea what it was going to be, and I have walked away the most enlightened on what we've gotten to see and the joy of cooking that can be had if you just take some time to just think about what you want to make and put some love into it, you know? And it might just be little chips. It might be a delicious Cajun chicken Creole dinner or chicken cacciatore. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Just put your heart into it and there you go.
And like anything, it's a skill you have to build up. Like, you can't just be a great cook right away. You know, look at the recipes, figure out the recipes you can do that you like, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that has been Justin Wilson, Easy Cooking. Does anybody have any final thoughts going into the show? Would you watch it again?
I did watch some more because the dog wanted to sit in the chair, so I put the episode back on, rewatched it, and then just kind of let YouTube run with more Easy Cooking. So he made some peach ice cream at one point, or sherbet.
Oh,
there you go.
Which, like, half that episode was just him loading ice into the ice cream maker.
Yeah. It's the noisiest episode ever. His microphone was off the charts.
1998, you can hear his heartbeat. You guys, that's the part that kills me.
Yeah.
He was 98?
No, it was 1998. Okay. And it was just like, really? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know that's like a while ago now, but surely we could have done better.
You could hear his heart beating in his chest through that microphone.
Yeah, you could.
Unbelievable.
It's funny.
The sound of that water boiling in the rice was... Every time he'd go past that pot and you'd just hear it like the Doppler effect of the
rice. And he kept saying he was going to do something with it, and then he wouldn't do something with it. It's like, you just said you're going to do something with it. Why don't you do that something?
Which I thought was cool, for the gas stove.
The heat dissipator.
The heat diffuser. I was like, oh, did he?
He did finally put it underneath there.
He did not put the lid on the chicken Creole he cooked, which he kept saying he was going to do. And then he got busy trying to fix his own plate. He's like, you never put that lid on like you said you was going to do.
I hope to be half as enjoyable and entertaining at that age as he was, and I'll consider myself lucky.
His Wikipedia page says he recorded several comedy albums. I'll listen to that and see what that's
like. This kind of character that he became got started in he was like a safety engineer when he was younger. And he would go around to plants telling, you know, doing that in Louisiana. And he developed and started telling these stories because he realized that he was putting his audience to sleep. And so he wanted to start telling some more humorous stories. And that's where that whole kind of persona came about.
That's amazing. That kind of stuff is fascinating. Like, we've heard about multiple folks who have had their career start by just doing weird stuff at their normal job, like Bob Newhart doing the phone game with his buddy at their job that became his comedy thing. And now Justin Wilson's like, I just told stories at the plants that I would go to for safety inspection. And that's cool to me. Always be on the lookout for ways you can make your hobbies work for you, I guess, is what I'm learning from these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder if he's like Larry the Cable Guy, where that's like a whole shtick, and he goes home and is like,
sure,
man, Margaret, can you believe what I had to do today? I said, I guarantee, like 5 times, and I think that was enough.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, you got to use the catchphrase. Yeah. I got to be this character for the next 2 hours. I don't know. If it's a character, he wears that thing well, you know. I don't know how easy that is to fake for as long as he did it. Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
I mean, it may have started as a character and he just lived into it and it's like, can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is that I could watch this again. I did try watching a couple of them to try to figure out what episode to do. But there's one about hamburgers and original grits or something that he did. And I don't know if he cooked the hamburger before he put it in the water, and it was really weirding me out. So I'm glad we picked chicken chili rice. Go look at that. Go look that up when you have some free time.
Gonna check that one out now.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm pretty sure he just dumped raw hamburger into a pot of water. And I'm just like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's
boiled chicken's one thing. Boiled hamburger is a whole other animal.
It's such a generational thing.
Yeah, we
just
seal it in a vacuum
everything.
Bag. Now we seal it in a vacuum bag and sous vide it and then sear it on the outside. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about something.
That's the way to do it.
I literally didn't pick that episode because I was unsure if I could ever eat what he was making.
I'm upset.
Yeah. just there's your bonus episode, everybody. Go give that a look. Hamburgers and I can't remember what he called it. Some kind of grit. I was like, that sounds kind of weird and good. No. I don't not want it. Peach ice cream would have been a much better thing. But anyway, we're going to leave Louisiana and head on to somewhere else next week. Amy is taking us on a journey. Amy, where are we going?
So there have been like 8 different segues into me telling you what we're going to do next week. And I am like frantically trying to decide which one I'm going to pick. But you mentioned that he did the classic... Here's one I prepared earlier. Mm-hmm. You also said that, you know, we talked about learning to cook and how you just got to do it. And a quote from an episode that I did not pick, but I did screen. It was like my backup episode. Was that my chef rants against the awful American syndrome of fear of failure and defines the art of cooking as one failure after another till you figure it out. We are going to the OG. The French chef herself, Julia Child.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
We're watching. All right, so it's season 7, episode 4, To Roast a Chicken. Now, these are all available on the Roku channel for free. On there, it's listed under the 1971 season. It's a little weird to find, but that's to roast a chicken is the important part.
Roast a chicken. All right.
It's a real good one, you guys. It's real good. I'm going to dork out so hard because Julia is a huge hero of mine. Her house in Provence in France is an Airbnb now. And so you can go and they do like cooking events there. And so you can like go stay in her house, which I would love to do, except I could not cook in her kitchen because she was 6'2" and everything was built to her height. So I would not be able to reach anything in that kitchen. But I do. It's on my bucket list is to go to Julia's house in Provence. So I'm so excited.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, I'm so excited. I've never watched an episode of Julia Child.
I'm very excited. So this is great because... I'm excited especially for you to watch, right? Because of a lot of things you've said about this episode. Because Julia Child is one of those things you think you know, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it was even to the point where when I was previewing the episodes, I've watched so many actresses portraying Julia Child that I'd kind of forgotten what actual Julia was like. So I'm excited for you to see what actual Julia is like. And this episode is a really good one. It's just roasting a chicken. We're just going to roast a chicken.
Oh, that's exciting. I can't wait. Thank you, Amy, for picking that. That's going to be a great time. Also, I don't know if we're ready to announce what options we have for the theme following Amy's episode. But what we will do is post that poll for you. either on Twitter or if you get wind of, or in the show notes, check out the show notes and then email us or get in touch with us however you choose. We're also on Discord at twodorks.net/Discord. We have a Those Were the Days channel in there. So join us. It's a bunch of good people in that Discord if that's your thing.
And we're there too.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we hang out in there. I'm in there like all day because I sit at a computer all the time. So it's a good place to go to chat with us and talk a little bit about the episodes, any classic TV stuff. I mean, it's a great time. Here recently, Stephanie and I fired up Dick Van Dyke Show over on Amazon just because it's like we haven't watched one in a while. We should watch it. Sat around giggling, having the best time. Classic TV is wonderful, and this show is a gift. But yeah, so that was it for Justin Wilson. Next week, Julia Child to roast a chicken. Watch that. That's your homework. Come back. Send us some feedback. Things you enjoyed about the episode. Things you want to hear us talk about that episode in particular. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that at thosewerethedaysshow@gmail.com or thosedaysshow on Twitter. So get on there, send us some feedback, talk to us, and we'll check that stuff out. But for now, that's it for me, for Amy, for Audie, for Travis, and for Justin Wilson. I hope you had a good time, I guarantee. And we will see you next time on Those Were the Days.
Done told you for truth.